Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is Ayin. We're in Samech Tes Amud Beis. We're starting today with the Mishnah. Here at the end of the sixth parak, very short parak here in the Masechta. We are going to continue now discussing the Mishnah here is going to be presenting more regarding the Nedunya. So basically the sixth parak has talked about this idea of Nedunya. There's a dowry, an expected dowry that's going to be given by her father to kickstart the marriage. And so the funds will help them start off in life. And so over here, instructions given by the father. So the father's given very clear instructions. Basically, he set up a trust. Okay, so back in the day, so what did a trust look like? So I don't know. I'm not sure. But in other words, effectively, what he did is he set up a trust, and then the father died. And then the issue is going to be very simple, and that is that the trustee, how carefully does he have to follow the instructions of the one who put together the trust? So good. So hamashlish. So we are starting the mission when Samach Tes Amud Beis. It's about a quarter of the way down in the Amud. So Mashlish Moshe Lebito. So what he does is that he is Mashlish. So Mashlish basically means creating a third party. In other words, so what he's going to do is he's giving funds to the third party. He's assigning again, I'm just going to call him a trustee. So he's assigning a trustee in order to make sure that the funds are properly taken care of, they're properly allocated. Now, in terms of allocation, what does he want done with the funds? So he wants property to be purchased for the newlyweds. Now, he omeres neman bali alai. Now, what she says to the trustee after the father died is, "Look, just give the money to my husband. He'll take care of it. No problem at all." So yaseshesh mashul shash biyadom div Reb Meir. So according to Reb Meir, nothing doing. In other words, the trustee was given very clear instructions of what to do with the money. And the money is not to be given over to the husband. And even though eventually, ultimately, in other words, the money is going to be purchasing property to be given to them. But in other words, but as far as the shlish is concerned, he was given extraordinarily clear instructions. He must comply with those instructions letter for letter. Rabbi Yossi Amer, V'chi Inu Al Asadeh, V'hi Rotz Al Mochra, Harei Mechur Me'achshav. So Rabbi Yossi says, I have a hard time understanding. Meaning, yes, I generally speaking, I agree. Trustee should do what he's supposed to do, what he was instructed to do. But over here, let's go over what's going to happen. The trustee's going to buy property. The property's going to be for the couple. So now, and when I say the couple, I really mean her. Meaning, it's her property. Yes, he's entitled to payros. And yes, there is a discussion to be had of when somebody owns the gufa davar and somebody has the payros, and how much ownership does the bala payros have? And we've gone over that before. But let's make this nice and simple. In a situation when the property anyway is going to you, so what difference does it make where she says to the trustee, here, do me a favor, do exactly as you instructed, which ultimately means I'm going to get property, or give the money to my husband and let him do what he wants, because anyway, ultimately, it's going to be my money. So Rabbi Yossi says, in this particular situation, I don't really understand why the trustee has to comply exactly to every letter of the instructions that were given to him. Okay, good. So, Bamed Varmamorim, and then the Mishnah finishes up, and Begadola. When is it that Rabbi Yossi will say that we have an override and that she can redirect? That's only when she's an adult. Ava Bektana, so in Maisa Ketana Klum. So, but when it comes to Ketana, so no. In other words, then she's not going to have a say, and she can't override the instructions of her late father. The question begs, which we're going to get to in the Gemara, and that is, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi are going to have any kind of argument when she's a katana? In other words, seemingly, they would be totally on the same page when she's a katana. Stay tuned as we're going to unpackage that a little bit in just a moment. Tana Rabbanan, we're starting with the Gemara. So the Gemara brings down a Braisa. Amash Shmaos, the Braisa over here, basically, it's a repeat of this Machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, presented slightly differently, but it's basically the same point. And then as a mashish mouse lachasno likach meim sad labito, vihi omeres yinasun labali. So again, same basic outline, and that the father gave money to the trustee. The instructions were that you're going to be purchasing a property for the couple when they get married. And she now, after the father dies, she said, just give the money to my husband. So min anisun arishus biyada, min arius in yasish lish mashushash biyado, div Reb Meir. So Reb Meir says, look, if we're talking about where they went through Nisuin, second stage of marriage, so then she can override. But if we're talking about Erisin, then she can't override. And Rabbi Yossi Amar Gedola, Beinim Nisuin, Beinim Erisin, Rishus Biada. Kitana Beiman Asuam Beiman Erisin Yaseh Shlishma Shlishma Biyadam. Rav Yossi says, I'm going to draw a different line in the sand, and that is whether she's a Gedola or whether she's a Kitana. When she's a Gedola, she can override. Doesn't matter if they are at Erisin, or doesn't matter if they're at Nesuin. But if she's a Kitana, she can't override. Okay, my Beinayu. Good. So we have now, we have a Braisa. Now, the feature that we got from the Braisa that we didn't get in the Mishnah is that both Reb Yossi and Reb Meir are making dividing lines in the sand. When can she override the instructions of her late father? Right? Is the dividing line going to be Nisuin? That's according to Reb Meir. Or is the dividing line going to be Gedola Kitana? That's Reb Yossi. But of course, though, there are two intersections. And so there are two ways that we could divide this. And now, but how do they interplay with one another? In other words, how do the two positions, Reb Meir and Reb Yossi, how do they intersect? That's the Gemara's question. My Beinayu. So in which case would Reb Meir and Reb Yossi argue? So Ilema, Ketana Menesu, and Ika Beinayu. Maybe they're arguing about a case where she's a Ketana, but they went through both Erisin and Nisuin. Maybe that's the debate between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. The Gemara says it's really unlikely. Well, before we get to that, the Reb Meir Savar Arishos Biyadam va'asa Reb Yossi LeMeir Ma'afilam and Nesu Nami Gedola in Ketana Lo. Maybe that's the machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. Gemara says no, Ema Seifa can't be. Take a look at the end of the Braisa. Ava Ketana Ema Ketana Klum. So the Braisa concludes with the words that when it comes to Ketana. Like, in other words, she just simply does not have enough authority, enough das, enough authority to make any kind of declaration that would override the instructions. So, Haman Ketani La. Who do you think the author of that last line of the Braisa is? So, Ilema Reb Yossi. You want to tell me it's Reb Yossi? I'm Reisha. Shamas Mina. We already know what Reb Yossi's position is. Dam Reb Yossi, Vichin, Allah, Sada, Vihiro, Salam, Achra, Hare, Mechur, Me'achshav. Gedola de Bazvini in, Ketani La Bazvini Lo. Meaning, the only time that Reb Yossi is going to make his argument that she can override the instructions is only when she is able to sell. She can only sell property when she's an adult. So we already know what Reb Yossi is going to say. So, Ella, Reb Meirhi, v'chusur mechzer v'achi ketani. So it must be that that last line is a formulation on behalf of Reb Meir. And as far as reading the Braisa, this is how we're going to read it. And that is, yaseh shishmashu hushash biyado. So the Shlish is going to do what he was instructed to do. That's only from Erison, where the trustee has to follow the instructions letter for letter. But after Nisuin, so then she can override. That's only when she's an adult, but when she's a Ketana, she can't override. So when she's a Ketana, there literally is nothing to talk about. Bein le Reb Meir, Bein le Reb Yossi, she can't override the instructions. The trustee is still given very clear instructions of what he's to do with the money, and that's it. In other words, then while she's a Ketana, and even if she went through both stages of marriage, she went through Erisin and Nisuin, we're simply not going to, she will not have input in terms of what to be done with the money. So, Ela Gedolim and Erisin, Ikbe Nayu, so the Gemara says, okay, let's try this again. And that is, what's the machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi? It is where she's a Gedola, and they went through the first stage of marriage. Under those circumstances, there's a machlos between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. Reb Meir will say that she cannot override, meaning the only time that she will be able to override is only post-Nisuin. So according to Reb Meir, I need two factors. One is that I need her to be an adult, and two, they have to go through both stages of marriage, Eris and Nisuin. And Reb Yossi says that after she's a Gedola, that's it. In other words, she can override the instructions and she can now determine that the husband is going to be the recipient of the money. Okay? Itmar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halachika Rav Yossi and Rav Amar Rav Nachman Halachika Rav Meir. So what do we have? A Machlokas Amarim in terms of which position do we follow? Do we follow like Rav Yossi or do we follow like Rav Meir? Good. For Rav Meir, here's the operating principle, and that is the father gave instructions. Here's what we're going to do. It's really simple. We're going to follow the instructions of the father. This is a principle of mitzvah l'shmo divrei hames. That when someone gave instructions and then he died, so then what we're going to do is that we're going to follow his instructions letter for letter. It's a mitzvah to do so. Now, we're going to use the word mitzvah. The Gemara doesn't use this expression, but Rashi does, and it's clear that that's what the issue is. When we say mitzvah l'shmo divrei hames, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. As you can imagine, the Gemara never makes that point very clear. The Gemara does not make that. Let me say clearly, the Gemara does not make that point clear. Right? It's unclear from the Gemara as to whether what kind of mitzvah this is, and what is this mitzvah predicate of? Meaning, it's based on what? Okay. Good. So I throw out these questions. I'm unsure as to the answers, but still, mitzvah lishma divrei ames. That's an overriding principle that goes out throughout Shas, and in terms of who the proponent of that principle is. Clearly, Rabbi Meir, meaning Rav Yossi allows for a little bit of wiggle room, right? Rav Yossi says that when even as an arusa, she can go ahead and override the instructions. The father gave clear instructions, okay, but she's at Erusin, and the money anyway is going to be going to her, and so forth and so on. Meaning, in this particular case, we can talk about her overriding. But according to Rav Meir, there simply is no conversation to be had of regarding her ability to override the instructions. Instructions were given by the father were very clear. Rav Meir says, mitzvah l'shmo divrei ames. Okay. Hold that thought. Okay, the Gemara in Tanis. Okay, we're going to take just a short, very short detour to the Gemara in Tanis and Daf Chaf Aleph, perhaps one of the more popular stories, one of the more famous stories regarding Ilfa and Rav Yochanan. Ilfa and Rav Yochanan were having a real difficult time. They were in yeshiva, they were learning. They were old already. They were married. Okay, I don't know much else. But anyway, but they were struggling. They were financially struggling. So finally, the two of them said to each other, "I'm giving a summary of the Gemara in Tanis, right? See the Gemara for more accurate detailing." But they were really struggling, and finally they said to each other, "Let's go to work." No, it's time. It's time to go to work. And meanwhile, Rav Yochanan heard a Baskel, and Rav Yochanan said, and the Baskel effectively said, "Yeah, stay in yeshiva." So Rav Yochanan said, "You know what? I'm going to stay in yeshiva." Now, granted, by the way, he was terribly destitute, and it was a struggle. But Rav Yochanan heard the Baskel. Apparently, Ilfa did not hear the Baskel. Okay. So what happened is that they each now went in two different directions. Ilfa went to work, and he engaged in business, and Rav Yochanan stayed in yeshiva. Eventually, what happened? Right, we all know what the end of the story is. Rav Yochanan was appointed Rosh Yeshiva, and oh, by the way, when he was appointed Rosh Yeshiva, so then he was given a pretty good salary. So he did fine, but anyway, Ilfa was very despondent. In other words, had he stayed in yeshiva, he would have been Rosh Yeshiva. Now he wasn't guessing, by the way. They told him had he stayed in yeshiva, that he would have been appointed the Rosh Yeshiva. Okay, he was very upset. Okay, now after having just quickly reviewed the Gemara in Tanis. Now let's go to our Gemara over here. You'll see how basically the two Gemaras go back to back. Ilfa talanavshe beiskra de makusa. So Ilfa now is hanging by the on the top of the mast of a ship, of a boat. Amar ikadasi damar li milsa de bei Rabbi Chiv Rabbi Yoshia v'lo pashin le mamasisen nafino meiskra v'tavana. So he makes a really dramatic statement and he says, "Look, you're going to quote me a brisa. I don't care whose brisa it is. It could be Rabbi Chiv's brisa." It could be Rabbi Yoshia's brisa. It don't matter. In other words, every brisa is really rooted in a Mishnah. I will show you the Mishnah and where it's rooted from. Okay, and anyone want to challenge me? Go ahead, challenge me. Meaning, I know all the brisas. I know all the Mishnayos, and he was upset. Clearly, he was upset over the fact that he didn't stay in yeshiva and he wasn't appointed Rosh Yeshiva, and it really bothered him. And the dramatic statement, and if I'm unable to do so, then I'll just simply jump into the water and I'll drown myself. Okay, let's assume it's hyperbole. Anyway, but clearly the point of the Gemara is that he was really upset over his fate in life. Also, Usaba Tanale. Okay, so somebody came over, accepted his challenge. Now, the words Hausaba, so already, by the way, kind of like a tip, it's a tell. In other words, it wasn't just anybody, right? Usually when you see that in the Gemara, it's Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, anyway. Ha'omer tenu shekel lebanai b'shabbos. So let's say the father gives the following instructions, and he says that, look, he had a really large estate, but he gave the money over to a trustee, and he said, here's how much you're going to be giving to my son, one shekel a week. Okay, don't exactly know how much it is. Here's what I know for sure. It's not a lot, not nearly reflective of what the estate could handle. Uruinli ten lahem sella. Now the truth of the matter is a sella. In other words, a sella is two times a shekel. Okay, so really he was giving half of an allowance of what really he needed for support. So no Salam Stella. Now, after the father died, and now the trustee, the custodian now is allocating from the funds. So how much should he give? Should he give the shekel, or should he give the stella, the two-time amount? And over here, the Braisa says he should be giving the stella. The imam are altet nulahem ella shekel. However, if the instructions of the father are no more than a shekel, so enos nulam ella shekel. Okay, so then the father could not have been clear, and you have to follow the instructions of the father letter for letter. And now, let's say he assigns a second beneficiary. Okay, we have a number of Gemaras that handle situations like this, where basically he wants his estate to go to a first beneficiary and a second beneficiary. Okay, so concerning the fact now that there is a second beneficiary that's waiting in the wings, so now we know that he only wants a shekel to go to his son, no more than a shekel. And it doesn't matter what the verbiage is, it doesn't matter how he phrases it, it's going to only be a shekel because there is a second beneficiary assigned. So now, the question that was posed to Ilfa is very simple. Explain this Braisa. Who's the author of that Braisa? So Amar Lei, so Ilfa responded, so Hamani Rabbi Meiri, Damar Mitzvah Kaim Divrei Ames. So he said, very simple, that what we just learned together, what we just read together, is none other than the Shita of Reb Meir, who says, Mitzvah L'Kaim Divrei Ames. Good. Right. Here's where the Gemara uses the phrase very clearly. So anyway, so Ilfa was able to handle the challenge. Good. Okay. I'm sure, by the way, that if we were doing this Gemara slower and more analysis, why specifically this question was asked to Ilfa at this specific time, how it responded to his, how was the response to his personal situation, meaning I'm sure all those connections could be made. But in the meantime, however, it's totally connected with what we're learning right now, because what we're learning over here is that when the father gives instructions, so you have to follow the instructions letter for letter, at least according to Reb Meir. Again, for Rav Yossi, there's flexibility, but according to Reb Meir, you have to follow the instructions exactly. Now it happens to be that, despite the fact that we just learned a braisa together, let's go back to the case where father died and assigned an allowance for his son, and the allowance for his son is not a lot. It's really modest. In fact, it's not going to cover his basic needs. And by the way, we're talking about a son who's a minor. In other words, obviously, because we're talking about where there's a custodian. So how much should the custodian give from the money? So the braisa said exactly what the amount is. That's it. And the Gemara now just simply points out that the Gemara quotes, in the name of Mar Ukva, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that the custodian is going to take from the estate and give as per the needs of the son. So So the Gemara says, okay, but obviously I'm confused. In other words, we just learned together that you got to follow the father's instructions, letter for letter. Mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames. And now you're telling me that in this case over here, the custodian is going to be given a lot of room. Okay, he's given a lot of latitude. So honey, mila b'milech renaisa v'abaha. So menach nechale. V'hadam rachi lizarzunu hudasa. The Gemara says, yeah, but over here, we know what the father's intentions are. Father's intentions are, look, in other words, Rachmanis, he died, leaving a very young child, but also leaving a lot of money. And what happens is that the father's basically saying to himself, look, if right now the child is going to be supported in a large style, so he's not going to be motivated, and he's not going to want to go to work, and he's not going to want to earn a living and make a livelihood for himself. So what I want is I wanted to get a modest or extraordinarily modest living from the estate so that it'll encourage him and motivate him, incentivize him to go and work. Good. That's the thought process of the father, and we all know that. Okay, Ben, what I'm anticipating is that that's Dvarim Shebelev, right? That we're now mind reading. And generally speaking, in halacha, we don't do that. We don't mind read. Okay.
What about inflation?
Okay, good. Inflation. Right now, we're just going over the basics. Okay, you're adding another variable. Just right now, the basics. The basics are is that that's the thought process of the father. The father wants to motivate his son, but because he also wants his son to eat and to live comfortably. So in this particular case, what we're going to do is that we're going to basically say, I know he said a shekel, but give him more. Give him what he needs. Tanan Hasam. Okay, one other point to glean from our Mishnah, and that is that ha-pe'utos. So we're talking about children who are 8 or 9 years of age. So 8 or 9 years of age, so they're ketanim. So according to the strict letter of the law, can they engage in any kind of business transaction? No. In other words, they're minors. However, mecha mecha chumekar memkar b'metaltalin. So there is a rabbinic allowance that they're going to go ahead and engage in commercial activity when it comes to movable items. So Amra from Loshanu Elosh Ein Shama Petropos of a Yesh Shama Petropos Ein Mecha Mecha Ve'ein Memkara Mecha. So now on this halacha, it's a Mishnah. So on this halacha that a child 8 or 9 years of age can engage in commercial activity, is allowed to transact. So when he's 8 or 9 years of age, so Rafram says that's only when there isn't a appointed trustee. Aval yesham apotropos emecha mecham rei memkar emecha. But with a trustee there, so no. Mimai, because midiktani, emai sekitana klum. Because just go look back at our Mishnah. And in our Mishnah, so what happened was is that the father before he died appointed a trustee, and the instructions to the trustee is you're going to buy property, and that property will go to my daughter and her and my son-in-law. But in other words, as long as she is a katana, so she cannot override the instructions at all. So the Gemara says, so what you see over here is that once you have a trustee in the picture, so then the children cannot engage in any kind of commercial or transactional activity. Vidilma, the Gemara says, I don't know. Vidilma hechadik shlishani. So maybe in the Mishnah, the Mishnah is talking about where there was a shlish, meaning a trustee that was appointed that was given very clear instructions in terms of what to do with the money. Maybe that's different. So Im Kain, the Gemara says, "Listen, Avabaktani, Yaseh Shlish Masha Shlish Biado, My Ein Maisa Ketaniklum Shmamina Afilu Ba'alma." The Gemara says, "No, the proof is a convincing proof, right? You try to push off the proof. I'm not pushed off the position. Why? Look at the language of the Mishnah." If the Mishnah's point was that once you have an appointed trustee who was given clear instructions, the Mishnah should say you have an appointed trustee who was given clear instructions. That's what the Mishnah should have said. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah says, Ein Maisa Ketana Klum, which means that because the child is a minor, so the minor, therefore, is simply not going to have any kind of say of what to do with the money. Okay, so it's clear from the conclusion of the Mishnah that when you have a trustee that's appointed, And a custodian who is going to be taking care of the child, so then the child cannot engage in transactional activity. When can a child engage in transactional activity? When can a child buy and sell? When he's 8 or 9 years of age, and, rachmanos, no custodian. Meaning the child's on his own. So under those circumstances, so as a takana de rabbanan, so they allowed a below bar mitzvah boy to go ahead and to do some sort of basic business activity so that he'll earn a living. Okay, hard for us to relate to these Gemaras, but back in the day, that's right. They grew up fast. Hadron lach mitzias aisha and adkan. That takes us to the end of the sixth parak of the Masechta, and here we go. Okay, that was really short. That was 4 blot of Gemara to get us through the sixth parak of the Masechta, and here we begin the seventh parak. Okay, seventh parak, amadir. So we're going to be talking a lot in this parak regarding nedarim. Okay, obviously when it comes to neder. So we know that nedarim are basically you're taking upon yourself that something which is permitted to you is going to be prohibited to you. How does that happen? Via neder. So you make a neder, you make a declaration that's going to be prohibited to me. And so what you've now created, you've created iser. That's what a neder is. It's really plain and simple. Why are we learning about nedarim here in Masechta Ksuvos? Because we know that when it comes to the husband-wife relationship, so he has veto power. Right? Torah says so in the beginning of Parshas Matos. That when a woman makes a neder, so that what the husband could do is that he could veto the neder, negate the neder, that's being made for the neder. Alternatively, he can rubber stamp the neder, more than rubber stamp it. In other words, he could be mekayim, sustain the neder. Right? Neder sustained. I like it. Okay, good idea. So the husband has the rights of any of the nedarim that are made by his wife. Okay. In fact, by the way, we're going to be spending an entire masechta talking about this. The name of the Masechta, you guessed it correctly, is Nedarim. And Nedarim is located where in Shas? Seder Nashim. Okay. Funny location for Nadarim. It's not a funny location. Meaning, because of the nature of Nadarim in the context of marriage, so therefore Nadarim finds itself squarely within Seder Nashim. Okay, but meanwhile, over here in Ksuvos, so we're going to be spending a perek here in Ksuvos, the seventh perek, discussing the nature of a neder in husband and wife. Okay?
What's the makshava of doing? Do they get?
They want to take on more. Why would they do so? Generally speaking, the neder is emotionally charged, meaning, right, the people aren't happy with one another. I don't want him to get benefit from me. He's not getting any hana from my possessions. So generally speaking, it is it's a response to an emotional feeling that they have. Okay, that could be one scenario. Okay, a husband and wife, could be that it's emotionally charged. Okay, marriage sometimes gets emotional, so I've heard. So it could be. But the question's excellent, and right. And there's always this tension when it comes to a neder, because on one hand, a neder is, you know, it materializes, meaning it comes into fruition. On the other hand, you already have psukim and Tanakh that say you shouldn't be making a neder. Okay, so on one hand, the Torah allows for it. On the other hand, the hashkafa is don't do it. Okay. Hamadir Zisha Melahanasla. Okay, and so we're here in a marriage, and apparently it's not going well. Okay, you know, I'm not going to get any kind of awards for diagnosing this particular marriage. Okay, whatever. It's just not going well. Why? Because the husband says that he's making a neder, and that is that his wife is not going to get any benefit from his possessions. Okay, they're having a bad day. So Hamad Yisishim Elahan Eslo. So now, there are basic issues that need to be resolved. The Gemara is going to be resolving some of the issues, not all the issues. But let's just bring it up right now. Notably, he is obligated to support her. That's called the Shibud. With that obligation to support her, it's contractually obligated. It's called the Ksuva, right? It's one of the Tanai Ksuva. So he's obligated to support her. So how in the world can he make an Eder that goes against the Shibud? Okay, good. That's a wonderful question. And the Gemara is going to ask that question. That obviously demands a response. Okay, and that's number one. Number two is that he also has to be intimate with her. So if he makes a neder and he says that she's not going to be getting any benefit from me, doesn't that also include Tashmish Amita? And but at the same time, however, he's obligated to be intimate with her. Okay.
So how do you make a neder against
the... So how can he do that? So, as far as the second issue is concerned, so Rashi says that this particular neder is not going to include Tashmish Amita. Rashi says you have to say that, right? Tosus agrees with Rashi, you have to say that. Okay, the language, I'm not totally clear as to why it doesn't include Tashmish Amita, but of course, let's operate with Rashi's understanding that it doesn't include Tashmish Amita. Tashmish Amita is not included in the neder, so in other words, they're still engaging in intimacy. Again, let's call this a dysfunctional relationship. Again, I don't want to label, right? But in other words, the Tashmish Amita is not included, but any provisions for that he's going to be providing for her now are going to be prohibited to her because of his neder. Okay, so this obviously is an unsustainable relationship. So what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says do the following. So, Ad Lamed Yom Yamid Parnes. So for a month, what you're going to do is you're going to appoint a partner. You'll have a trustee who's going to take care of her, because you can't take care of her. Now, again, by the way, as we just try to make our way through the Mishnah, again, let's ask the obvious question. If you're appointing somebody to take care of her, that's called you taking care of her. Meaning, obviously, what the trustee is going to do is that he's going to, whatever money he lays out, so he's going to invoice you. And you're going to have to... So all you're doing is just, you're taking care of her, but via shliach. That's called taking care of her. So how did you circumvent the issue? Okay, again, it's a simple problem. It's a simple difficulty with the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to respond to that. But for 1 month, you're going to operate in this manner. And yes, Mekin Yosef, you take suva. And then after that, now in month number two, it's unsustainable. So what you're going to do now is you're going to divorce her. Now, the Mishnah is not perfectly clear. It means we're going to compel him to divorce her. It's not clear in the Mishnah. And I leave that a little bit open-ended, knowing that Tosos discusses this very point. Rabbi Huram, Rabbi Yisrael, Chodesh, Echad Yikayim, V'shnayim Yotziv, Yitain Ksuva, As far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, the only distinction he's now making is whether or not the husband's a Yisrael or the husband's a Kohen. Why? We know why. Because when it comes to Yisrael, so even in the event of divorce, so what they could do? They can go around number two. He could remarry her. But with the Kohen, obviously, in other words, once the marriage ends, that's it. That is going to be a termination of the relationship. Indefinitely. Forever. He can't remarry her. She's a grusha. So all Rabbi Huda is saying is that let's give the Kohen a little bit more time to try to work it out. Because over here, if it ends in divorce, this will be final. Okay, let's say now Rashi sets it up in the following manner. Here, she's making the neder, but he's being mekayim it. Okay, in tomorrow's daf, we will go over exactly why we flipped it, where she's now making the neder and he's being mekayim. But as far as we're concerned right now, it's effectively the same point, which is that she's making a neder, which is going to make their lives really difficult. I'm not going to be eating any fruit or a particular fruit. So once again, Yotzi v'tank suva. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yisrael Yom Echad Yikayim Shnayim Yotzi v'tank suva. Over Kohen Shnayim Yikayim Shosh Yotzi v'tank suva. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says is that for a Kohen, we're just going to drag it out a little bit longer because, again, you know, if and when they get a divorce, that will be final. Hamad Yotzi Shosho Lo Tizka Sheit Be'echad Mikol Aminim Yotzi v'tank suva. A neder was made that she's not going to be using a particular perfume. So once again, let's say it's an unsustainable relationship, and so it's going to end in, it needs to end in divorce. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, be'aniyo shelo nasan kitzva, uva ashira shloshim yom. So Rabbi Yossi says it depends on her social status and the duration of her neder. Let's say she's aniyo. She's a poor woman. And she doesn't put on makeup. She doesn't put on makeup or perfume that frequently, and she makes a neder. If the neder she makes is an indefinite neder, so even though she's poor, even though she doesn't put it on that often, but an indefinite neder is not tolerable towards the marriage, and therefore it will result in divorce. But if she makes a neder for a term, there's a term limit to the neder. So then, okay. In other words, she's poor. She doesn't put it on that often anyway. Okay, it's tolerable. But if she's an Ashira, if she's a wealthy woman, so for her, putting on makeup perfume, that's a daily event. And so therefore, for her, when does it become intolerable? When she makes a neder for 30 days or longer. Then it's intolerable, and then it's going to, that's when the marriage has to come to an end. Okay. So we opened up here in the seventh parak of the Masechta, going over scenarios where he makes a neder, she's making a neder. Again, exactly who's making the neder, it's important, and we're going to discuss it more in tomorrow's daf, but basically the neder now is that they're going to make each other's lives slightly more miserable, okay? And under certain circumstances, so now the marriage just simply cannot continue under these conditions, and so therefore, unless he goes to a chacham to find a Pesach for the neder, so the marriage is going to come to a conclusion. So, v'kivin d'meshubah la'hechem atim adilah kol kaminei d'mafkilei l'shibudei. So the Gemara now starts off. I foreshadowed these questions, and now let's pick it up one by one. Question number one. We're going in the first case of the Mishnah, obviously. That's how we normally operate when dissecting a Mishnah. We go in sequence. So in the first case of the Mishnah, so he makes a neder and he says, you're not going to get benefit from any of my possessions. Right? Right? My food? You're not getting any of it. Gemara says, that's absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand. He has a shibud. He's contractually obligated to support her. How can the neder even take effect? And the Gemara says, "Vatanan konim sheni osel l'ficha, enu sarach la'afir." Ama kevin demeshabda le lav kol kaminei demafkele l'shibudei. Hachinami kevin demeshuba la lav kol kaminei demafkele l'shibuda. So we already saw this multiple times in our Masechta, and let's hear it again. And that is that she makes a neder that my maisi adayim, they're not going to be enjoyed by you. So does he have to even be made for the neder? No, he doesn't have to be made for the neder. Why? Because she has a shibud. Her maisi adayim need to go to her husband. A neder cannot override that. Same thing from him to her. He has a shibud of mizonos to her. So now he makes a neder, doesn't matter who. But they make a neder that goes against a shibud. You can't go against a shibud. You're already contractually obligated. The neder doesn't even take effect. So, question is really simple. What's our Mishnah talking about? makes a neder that she can't benefit from his possessions, he's obligated to support her. The neder doesn't even take effect. So Ella. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's a really strong question. It demands an answer. So the Gemara says, fine. Mitoch shiyachol lamala, si'i mas yadech b'mezon asayech. So the Gemara says, remember, we discussed this already before. We get to discuss it again as we turn to the Amud Beis. And that is that basically it's quid pro quo. What you have over here is matching contributions. He has to support her. And in exchange for that, her maisi adayim, her earnings go to him. And he could say to her, "Si maisi adayim, mizonos secha. I'll tell you what, you keep your maisi adayim, I'll keep my mizonos." So, nasi ka'omer la si maisi adayim, mizonos secha. Ah, so in other words, the only way to understand our Mishnah is where, before he makes a neder, he says, by the way, here's what we're going to do. Normally we exchange, right? I give you mizonos, you give me maisi adayim. No exchange. In other words, I'll keep my mizonos, you keep your maisi adayim. Good. Now that we're here, now I'm making a neder on my mizonos, right? Where you're not going to be benefiting from it. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, V'imi, salahad ravuna marav damar ravuna marav yecholisha shetoma labala, eni nizonos veinosa, konim shani osa laficha, amai, eni tzarech lafer, lema, mitoch shiyechol alomar, eni nizonos veinosa, nasa kemisha omer, slo, eni nizonos veinosa. So the Gemara says, well, who can break the exchange? According to Rav Huna Merav, he could do it, but she could do it as well. According to Rav Huna Merav, she could say to him, look, my Maisi Adayim are going to you in exchange for my Mizonos. She can go ahead and decline. And she could say, you'll keep your Mizonos, I'll keep my Maisi Adayim. Now, if that's true, which it is, according to Rav Huna Merav, so now let's go back. She makes a neder. You're not getting my Maisi Adayim. Okay? The neder should take effect. Because effectively, it's as if she's saying, by the way, not only am I making a neder, but I'm keeping my Maisi Adayim, thank you very much, and you'll keep your Mizonos. So why don't we say that? So the Gemara says, Ella lo tema nase, Ella be'omer la, tzi Maisi Adayim be'mizonosayach. The Gemara says, you're right. In other words, if she said it, so then fine, it breaks the exchange. She's declining the exchange. So the Gemara says, it's not that we're learning the Mishnah, you could have said it. The way we're learning the Mishnah is, it was actually stated. Oh. So in other words, in the Mishnah's case, he is actually saying to her. It's not like he could have said it. He's saying to her, right? I'm declining the exchange. Normally the exchange is that I give you Mizonos, you give me Maisi Adayim. So here's what's happening. Number one, decline, right? The exchange is now going to be decline. I'm declining it. Not like I could decline it. I am declining it. So I'm declining the exchange. I'm keeping my Mizonos. You're keeping your Maisei Adayim. And oh, by the way, my Mizonos is now going to be ushered to you via Neder. Okay. Again, we're only trying to resolve. We're only trying to figure out how can he even make the Neder altogether? Meaning, how does it even take effect? So in this circumstance that we just laid out, now the Neder can take effect. So Yarchi Parnas Lamali. So the Gemara says, okay, so why is he supporting her? Meaning, if that's the Mishnah scenario, so the Mishnah says, well, what we'll do is that we'll set up a third party to support her. Well, why? Meaning, if she's keeping her Maisi Adayim, she doesn't need a third party. So the Gemara says, Bedelo Safka. So the Gemara says, well, it happens to be that her earnings are just simply not enough. She's not making enough money in order to support herself. So Bedelo Safka, Hadar Kushla Duchten. So the Gemara says, okay, so let me introduce you now. We're back to square one. So the Gemara says, Amar Avashi, Ben Maspekas Dvarim Gedolim, Vein Maspekas Dvarim Ketanim. So the Gemara says, look, no, in terms of the very basic needs, that's taken care of. But then there's the smaller amenities that she's used to now. And that's not what she's getting through her Maisi Adayim. And she would have gotten it through the Mizonos, but he's making the Mizonos also to her Vayin Neder. So Hani Dvarim Ketanim Echidami. The Gemara says, could you be a little bit more specific? We're talking about basic needs, and then, right, quote unquote luxury items. So the Gemara says, "Ida regila bahu, ha regila bahu, ivi ilo regila bahu, parnas lamali." Well, we're not actually going to spell out what the luxury items are, but in other words, right, luxury. And what's the difference between luxury and necessity? Right. Somebody said this to me. It's so good. In other words, for what you and I, what are luxuries for our children are necessities. Okay, it's unfortunate, but that's true. And so the. So the Gemara says but over here, sorry, just, I try to get wise for just a moment, but the Gemara says over here, that look, the if it's something that she's used to, so the so it's no longer considered a luxury item, meaning she's used to it. And if she's not used to it, so then why does he have to provide for her things that she's not used to? So lo tzricha de regula bebeis nasha, and kamigalgala behade. So the Gemara says, now I'll tell you the circumstance. Circumstance looks like this: is that she came from her father's house. She came from money. She found a guy, not the wealthiest guy, but she really likes him. Okay, she's going to have to go through a downgrade in life. Now I know that we already learned multiple times in the Masechta that she does not need to downgrade. I know that. Okay. In other words, and he has to support her based on what she's used to. Okay, but Phil has experience of life. But he can't. In other words, but he can't. Okay, so now, okay, so obviously he'll try his best, but he can't. So derigila bebe nasha and kamigalgala behade. So she basically said, look, I really like you. We're going to make it work. Oh, I'm going to have to give up some of my luxuries in life. Okay, good. So the Amr lay ad ha'ina delo adjartan gilgulam bahadech. But now, her claim is a really good one. And she said, look, I really did like you. And I really was ready to cut out some of my luxury items of life. But now, can we look at our situation right now? You're making a neder. You're cutting me off from mizonos. You're telling me to keep my maisi adayim. And now you're telling me that all your provisions are going to be also to me via neder. And as far as now, I get to keep my earnings, but my earnings are only getting through me through the basics of life. And once upon a time, I was used to these luxury items. For you, I was ready to forgo them. But now, based on the current situation, I'm not so happy, understandably. And you're making a neder? And ha'ita d'lo adartan gilgulam ba'adech. Before you were making the darim, so I was ready to deal with it. But now with the darim, thank you, but no thank you, I'm not interested anymore. Okay. That was a long-winded answer to basically get us to the point. Meaning, question, right? Simple Q&A. Question, how can he make a neder that she is going to be prohibited to his foods? In other words, if he has a shibud of mizonos, so how can the neder even take effect? That's the question. The answer is that what he does is he declines on the exchange. And he articulates, I'm keeping my mizonos, you're keeping your maisi adayim. Okay? And under those circumstances, now the neder will take effect. Then, of course, the side problem is that why is he appointing a parnas? If she's keeping her maisi adayim, she doesn't need his mizonos. She's got her maisi adayim. And then we went through a detailed answer of, well, we're talking about a case where her maisi adayim is getting her through the basics in life, but not the amenities that she's used to. And even though living with him, she was ready to forego the amenities, but now that he's making nadarim, she's not ready to forego the amenities. Okay, adkan. But the basic question of how can the neder even take effect, the question's been answered. Umayshna shloshim yom. Now, why do we say that they're given 30 days to try to work it out? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because shloshim yom lo shame be inshe, velo zili ba milsa. Tvei shime be inshe, vezili be milsa. And the difference is that after 30 days, everyone's learning about it. For 30 days, they can keep they can keep their marital issues under wraps. But after 30 days, they can't do it anymore. The Gemara is going to give a different answer, a second answer. How can the neder take effect? Second answer of the Gemara, the neder was made while she was an arusa. Arusa misle mizona, the Gemara asks a really simple question. She's not entitled to mizonos. So he gives man v'lo nisu kidanan. He gives man v'lo nisu ochlos mishlo v'ochlos betruma. When is the arusa getting any kind of mizonos? The answer is a year came and went. For whatever reason, we discussed it. Day one of the masechta, they didn't get married after a year. So after a year, they didn't get married. He now has the financial obligation to support her. So the Gemara says umayshna shloshim yom. Okay, so under those circumstances now, so he can make a neder, and the neder will take effect. So because we're not talking about when they are after Nisuin. At Nisuin, he is obligated to support her, and therefore the neder doesn't even take effect. We're talking about during Erisin. So the Gemara says, "Amayshna Shoshim Yom, Ashoshim Yom Avishliach Shichusei Tfeilo Avishliach Shichusei." Now, according to this Ukimta, so then why 30 days? Because for 30 days, someone's going to go through the trouble of supporting her. After 30 days, right? No one's going to take it upon themselves to go in and support her. The Gemara, obviously speaking generalities, right? I'm sure that you'll find somebody out there that will support her for more than 30 days, but generally speaking, it's going to be hard to find. So the Gemara says, now, I'll give you a third suggestion of how the neder can take effect, and that is she made the neder while she was in Arusa. So the Gemara says, and afterwards she got married. The Gemara says, really? Nisei's hasfar v'kabla. The Gemara says, okay, but you know what? She thought going into this marriage, I can handle it. So the Gemara says, "De amra kisvurani shani yechol akaba v'achshav eni yechol akaba." She's like, "Yeah, I thought I could handle it. I can't handle it." So Amar damrin hachi legabe momen lenyim mizonim yamrin hachi. So the Gemara says, "You know, if let's say he had a physical blemish, and she said, look, I think I can handle it.' So under those circumstances, where she wants to reconsider, there under those circumstances, she can reconsider." She has a Pesach. She has a legitimate claim where she can make. I thought I could handle it. I can't handle it. But if we're talking about where we're just talking about finances, which is not a small deal, I know. But we're talking about finances under those circumstances. I'm not sure we're ready to say that. Where when she made the claim that she could handle it, and not just a claim that she can handle it, she also made a neder that she's not going to be getting benefit from him financially. So and then after they get married, she's like, I can't handle it anymore. The Gemara is not so sure as to whether or not that was is a real legitimate allowance to her for her to reconsider her neder. Ela machvar to kedushin me'akar. The Gemara says, okay, go back to any one of the first answers that we gave. Okay, so simple Q&A of the Gemara, and that is that in the Mishnah we're talking about a case where he makes a neder, she's not benefiting from his possessions, and so question number one of today's daf, question number one of the seventh perek, how can the neder even take effect? He has a shibud. He has a financial contractual obligation to support her. How can it even take effect? And so the Gemara gave multiple answers to this question. Right? Some of the answers the Gemara likes, some of the answers the Gemara does not like. But that was question number one, which we just finished with.
So in the case that it's not enough for her, it still takes effect.
Yeah. In other words, as long as they're declining the exchange. In other words, if he says, I'm keeping my mazonos, you're keeping your maaseh yadayim, so now the mazonos don't have to go to her.
Yeah, but the maaseh yadayim may not be enough.
Oh, so if the maaseh yadayim are not enough, so now he has to support her.
So it wouldn't take effect.
Right, and under those circumstances, correct. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. Ashol Shem Yom.